too much ahead to look back, isn't it? Thoroughly enjoyed my time with you folks, and it's been wonderful, and all of you have been a blessing. I'm just honored and surprised that most of you have come back every night. The pastor's wife, she has to be here. I understand why she's here. But the rest of you, I appreciate you coming back. And for our guest that's here tonight, thank you for coming. I'm honored that many of the pastors in the area, they've come different nights, and I appreciate that. And others are here again tonight. And I appreciate you men of God being here in the service and honoring this pastor as well. And so thank you for being here tonight. I've had wonderful fellowship with many of you, the McDonald family. I was with them one night. They took me out to eat. We had a wonderful meal together, fellowship together. And then after the service last night, I was talking to my wife. She was asking me about the day. And I said, well, I went out to eat with the song leader, and his wife plays the piano, and went to their home and had a meal together. And she said, who were they? I said, well, they're the Caudle family. And she said, how you spell that? I said, C-A-D-L-E. She said, I don't think that's Caudle. I said, what is? She said, I think that's Cadle. And we got into an argument about the names. And if you weren't here last night, you don't understand. So I pulled off and asked someone, how do you... No, I didn't. I didn't do that last night. I didn't go to the Burger King again. So... if you folks weren't here last night, you ask somebody at the service. They'll tell you how I messed up. And then the Bibles are here tonight. Good to see you folks. And I actually know somebody from around here. What about that? And they come walking in. They came all the way to hear me tonight. What about that? Well, they didn't have to come a long way. They're from this area. Last time I saw them, they were at my place down in Greenville, South Carolina. But I'm in their neck of the woods this time. It's good to see you folks. Thank you for being here. And so thanks for all the church. And the pastor has been just gracious. And we've had wonderful fellowship together. And he took me on a big historical tour today. And we went everywhere. And let's see, what did we have? We had, I'll get this wrong too. Let's see, we had Thanksgiving on a roll. Is that what it was? Bobby. A Bobby. He just handed it to me and I ate. It was good. He went in his place and ordered four or five big subs. It was about that long. And we got in the car and divvied them up. And man, we had a time. It was great. And so we've had a wonderful fellowship together. Pastor, thank you so much. And thank you, church, for supporting our ministry and our work and labor in China. The Lord willing, I'll be back, leaving back for China the end of next month. And so please pray about that particular trip. We've talked about it throughout the week. On Monday night, just to recap, if you were here or if you were not here, on Monday night we talked about the value of one person. How valuable is one? The multitude is great. We all want to see the multitude come. And Jesus preached to the multitude, but he took time out of his busy day to go through Samaria for one person. And so we talked about the value of one. We had many of this congregation raise their hand on Monday night and said they would pray this week that the Lord would lead them to one. Just one. I pray the Lord has put someone in your path this week. If he hasn't, you still have a couple of days. But the Lord would put someone in your path that you could share the gospel with. The value of one. And on Tuesday night, we talked about having a burden for sharing the gospel. And then on Wednesday night, we volunteered everyone to go to China. And if you weren't here, they put your name at the top of the list. So we're taking a group. No, we did. We talked about China on Wednesday night. What's going on there? Why do we have to take Bibles into China when China prints more Bibles than any other country in the world? That's a paradox, isn't it? So we talked about the need and talked about different people groups, that there are actually millions and millions, not thousands, but millions of people in parts of China tonight that have never heard the gospel, ever. And so we're trying to reach as many of them as we possibly can with scriptures, with gospel tracts, with training material, helping national pastors reach their people. And also American missionaries, getting them in strategic places and starting underground churches. So we talked about the great need that there is in China. We did that on Wednesday night. And On last night, I done forgot what I did last night. Well, last night, we let's see, we talked about the things that the Lord has to give to you. As I reminded you, a friend of mine would always say, what's in it for me? Well, there are some things. I'm not in this Christian walk just for what I get out of it, but I get some pretty good things. There's some great benefits that the Lord has for me and has for you as children of God. And so we talked about some of those things, and peace and joy and the work that He gives us and the power that He gives us to do what He has for us to do. Amen. And then on a couple of the nights, I don't know if I mentioned this last night, but a couple of the nights, maybe Tuesday night, I said I was praying about it, and maybe by Friday night that I had a surprise for you. Well, it's Friday night, and I have a surprise. It's not what you think, but that's the title of the message. Surprise. This is a different, I told the pastor, tonight's a little bit different kind of message. When I came the first night, I reminded the folks and told you, you had to remember my background. I was a principal of an elementary school, kindergarten, elementary, middle school, high school for 12, 15 years. And it was my duty throughout the week to preach chapel or teach or whatever to little kids and middle-aged kids and teenagers. And so I had to tell stories and engage them in the messages to keep them awake and keep them interested, right? And I said, it's a lot like adults. Not much different. You have to keep them engaged, keep them interested. So tonight's going to be a different kind of message. Now, the reason it's going to be different is because I'm warning you right up front. I'm going to play upon your emotions. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Rob, you're not supposed to do that. I've always heard you're not supposed to take advantage or play upon someone's emotions. But I'm warning you up front, that's exactly what I'm going to do. God made us as emotional beings. He gave us emotions, right? Okay. So I'm going to try to needle some of those, poke on some of those to make a point tonight. Now, by the time I get to the message tonight, to be honest with you, the message is really, really short. I paused because I thought I'd hear an amen. But the message is really, really short. The introduction is really, really long, but the message is short. I've got three short points at the end of the message that I want to give you. But tonight's message is surprise, surprise, surprise. Do you remember Gomer Pyle? Some of you older folks already, when I said that, you was probably thinking Gomer Pyle. Remember that? Andy Griffin, the younger people, they don't have a clue who I'm talking about. But us older folks, we know who Gomer Pyle is on the Andy Griffin Show. And you know, he'd come in, surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, surprises. They're familiar. It's a familiar feeling that we get. I wrote down quite a few things here. You know how sometimes you're surprised and the mouth is wide open? It's like, or a chill goes up your spine, or tingle, or your heart's pounding real fast, or sometimes it's disbelief, like you're just astonished, excited, thrilled. It's a surprise. Here's some things I wrote down. I wrote down quite a few things for tonight. Surprises start parties, right? You ever had a surprise birthday party? Surprises sometimes can stop relationships. I won't get into that. Sometimes surprises can solve murders. Don't you enjoy a good murder mystery and like at the end the surprise witness shows up? Surprise! Kids love surprises, especially at Christmas. So do I. Parents expect surprises. So what do you mean by that? You mean your room is clean? Wow, surprise. Coaches use surprises. We're in the middle of March Madness, right? Basketball people. A surprise. Full court press, surprise the other team, right? Coaches use them. Politicians hate surprises. Remember Al Gore in 2000? Surprise. You're not the president. We like them and we hate them. Now stay with me tonight, folks. Here's a few one-liners that illustrate both reactions. We like surprises. We hate surprises. How about this? Yes, this is Dr. Brown's office calling, and you need to come in today for x-rays. Surprise. Students, I want all the students to take out a half sheet of paper. The quiz today will be on the material we... Quiz? Surprise. According to this sign we just passed, we've been on the road, the wrong road now, for about an hour. recalculating. Surprise. You've all done that, haven't you? Oh, no. The alarm didn't go off this morning. Surprise. Late again. I'm sorry your hard drive crashed. You do have iCloud, right? You've got... Surprise, it's all gone. Hello, I'm calling from the bank regarding your checking account. Surprise. Yes, Mr. and Ms. Smith, I'm sure that I heard two heartbeats during that exam. Surprise. Congratulations, you got the promotion and the raise. Amen. Surprise. Pastor, I heard two of your members were just involved in a terrible car wreck. Surprise. He's gotten those calls. No, that was not leftover stew on the counter, dear. That was Alpo. You shouldn't eat. No, no. Surprise. No, Dad, no, there's no way I can be pregnant. Surprise. Hi, I'm from the Publishers Clearinghouse, and you've just won $10 million. Surprise. I owe the IRS how much? Surprise. No, I will not go on a date with you Friday night. It's not going to happen. Surprise. I'm sorry, but it's going to cost about $2,800 to fix your car. Surprise. You ever got that one? Pastor, someone gave a check in the offering tonight for $500,000. Surprise. Amen. The check was bad. Surprise. I'm sorry, but your job's being phased out. We're not going to need you anymore. Surprise. And who would you like to make the funeral arrangements? You have someone to do that? Surprise. In fact, I heard this. I remember the pastor who had the young man that had just been called to preach, one of his young preacher boys, and he was allowing him to preach for the very first time in the pulpit. The pastor was nervous, and so was the young preacher boy. In fact, the young preacher boy was so nervous, he quickly wrote down his message on the front pew. He wrote it out. He was so nervous, and he got up in front of the congregation for his first message, and he said, "The good book says a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked him. Then the good book says, along came Jehu across the field, driving fiercely with the Queen of Sheba in the chariot. And when she saw that man, she took pity on him, gave him 10 changes of raiment and 30 pieces of silver, and took him up in the chariot and was going to take him up into the inn. But the good book says that when they had left the field and entered into the woods, that the man's hair got caught in the limb of a tree and chucked him right out of that rig. And the good book says that he hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know the good book says that the Lord sent the ravens and they brought him food to eat and water to drink. And then one night while he was hanging there and had gone off to sleep, his old wicked wife Delilah came along with a pair of scissors and chopped off the man's hair. And he fell on stony ground, and great was the fall of him. And he was carried therefore by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But oh, when he got there, he marveled at their unbelief. For there he saw old wicked Queen Jezebel and 400 wicked prophets. And old Jezebel was laughing because she had five husbands, but the man that was looking over her shoulder was not her husband. And the good book says that he was very wroth, and he took up the jawbone of a donkey and the edge of the sword, and he slew old wicked Queen Jezebel and all 450 of them wicked prophets, and they gathered up all the fragments that remained, and lo, there were 12 baskets full and 2 small fishes. And when he finished with that sword, he held it high in the air and proclaimed peace and goodwill to all, and to all a good night. Surprise! What a message. On and on. Highs and lows. Surprises. In a split second, you can go from laughing to crying. All right? Surprises. I was in a meeting a little over 2 years ago. In fact, it's a church my dad started years ago. My dad's with the Lord now. A young family pastor is the pastor there, and him and his wife, and they've got 3 young children. I was there in the service with them on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. The very next week, I got the phone call because they had left after the revival service, and they were going on vacation. Young preacher and his wife and 3 children. They were laughing and singing in the van, and the next instant they were hit head on by a dump truck. Tore the entire front of their van off, completely off. Mom and dad are gone. 3 young children in the back, unharmed. 8-year-old boys calling 911. Mom and dad are gone. Surprise. But I also find some surprises in the Bible. Let's listen to some of them. How about Adam and Eve stumbling across the grave of their son, Abel? That was a surprise. Enoch's footprints just disappearing. He walked with God. I'm sure his family was surprised. How about Noah's neighbors when they realized that it was actually sprinkling rain? Noah had preached for 120 years without a convert. Does it make me feel too bad? 120 years, and the only people he saved was his sons and their wives. His wife, and they realized it was actually raining. Surprise. How about Sarah? I'm having a baby at 90 years of age. What a surprise. Moses hearing God speak from a burning bush. We saw a reenactment of that just the other day. And God spoke to him. Surprise. I'm sure he was surprised in that desert. Pharaoh's wife screaming, "Our son is dead." No blood across the door. How about when manna fell on the ground? They were going to starve to death. "Moses, why did you bring us out here? We're going to die in this desert." And it rained angel food, manna. Surprise. God took care of his people. Even when water ran out of a rock, surprise, Moses smote that rock and cool, fresh water sprang forth. They were surprised. Jericho's walls tumbling down. Remember that story? All they did was march around and blow the trumpet, and God flattened those walls. Surprise. a whale swallowing Jonah. Surprise. That should be a reminder to all of us. If God has something for you to do and he tells you to do something, let me give you some advice. Don't go near the water. Surprise. How about when the disciples found out about Judas? They had worked with him, ministered with him, and yet he betrayed them. Not only them, he betrayed the Christ. They were surprised. How about when the only perfect man ever to live on this earth was nailed to a cross? Surprise. What about when Mary saw Jesus on that first Easter morning, supposing him to be the gardener, and he spoke to her and called out her name, and she realized that it was her Lord and her Savior? Surprise. He was alive. Surprises. I find three great surprises in the Word of God. I want you to look at them with me tonight. The first one I find is found in Matthew chapter 7. Turn there with me, please. Maybe some of the saddest verses in all of the Bible that I find are found in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Can I tell you tonight that death will surprise some people? Amen. Now, you've heard me, most of you have heard me all week long. I didn't come here this week to try to drum up an emotion. And I said I'm playing on your emotion, but I didn't come here this week to drum up an emotion that half the congregation of this church runs down to the altar and gets re-saved this week. Right? No. And I'm not here tonight with this particular passage and this message to make someone doubt their salvation. There are people that have, they really struggle with that. And I can understand that with some people. They struggle with the assurance of salvation. I heard a message, I reference this quite often. I reference my former pastor, Dr. Seidler, often. Dr. Seidler preached a message one day on one Sunday morning, and I was there, and then I listened to it on recording as well, and one of the deacons of our church came down the aisle at the end of the message and bowed at the altar, and my pastor went to him and said, how can I help you, brother? One of our deacons. And he looked at our pastor and said, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Now, don't misunderstand me. Now, it takes discernment from the man of God. And my pastor was a man of God. Many people would have led him to the Lord and got up and championed. Well, one of the deacons of the church got saved. And that can happen, okay? Don't misunderstand me. But my pastor knelt down and said, brother, I don't believe that. He said, I was there when you got converted. I saw the change in your life. I've prayed with you and I've prayed with your family. I think the devil has got to you and discouraged you and made you believe a lie. Right? That can happen. That can happen. But I'm also, by this scripture and these verses that I read tonight, I have to admit and I have to recognize that there may be people among us and in our local independent Baptist churches that look right, act right, smell right, sing right, they do all the right things, that have never trusted the Lord as their Savior. They may have played the instruments and sing in the choir and sung the specials and possibly preached the message. That's what the passage said. They did wonderful works. Lord, I've done wonderful works in your name. I've even cast out devils. And Jesus say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Could it be that we'd have someone in this congregation tonight, and you've been here all week, or you've come in tonight, and you know all the songs? You know when to say amen. You know when to stand up. You know when to dismiss. You know all the things of church. But you don't know the God of the church. You don't know the Savior of the church. You may know with your mind and know who Jesus is, and you know the stories of the Word of God. You can go to all the places, and if I said Nehemiah in charge, you could get there faster than anybody else. But yet you don't know the God of this Bible. You don't know Jesus that died for your sin. Could it be that I'm speaking to someone tonight and you would be surprised at death? Surprise! I never knew you. Depart from me. Death will surprise some people. The challenge in my heart should be and is that I should serve the Lord and love the Lord because He is God, because of who He is. Not to please man, not to please myself, but that everything I do or say would please Him, would honor Him. Death will surprise some people. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. It gets better, I promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, familiar passage. Beginning in verse 51, Paul's writing here. In verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery." We talked about one of those mysteries last night, the mystery of the church. Here's another mystery Paul is going to reveal. "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Can I tell you that one day the rapture will take place, and the church, the Christians, the born-again believers in this world will be caught up, snatched out of this world. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day, but I'm here to tell you the rapture will surprise some people. A pastor today took me, we went on a tour. I don't even know where all we went, but I enjoyed it. We had good fellowship together and showed me some historical things. We went to one of the oldest Baptist churches in Delaware, in America, one of the oldest churches in all of America, and a Welsh Tract Baptist Church. We went to that building, he showed it to me, and we got out and walked around, and there's graveyards and tombstones and all around that old, I mean, early 1800s, 1700s, and most of the tombstones are weathered, you can't even read most of them. And we walked around there and looked at names and talked about it, and we were standing there, and I looked at the pastor, and I told him, I said, "You know, Pastor, I said, one day this will be resurrection ground." There's probably some saved folks around here. There may not all be, but there's probably some saved folks. And one day, the trump of God will sound as the verses we just read. And I believe that. And God's going to call His people out of here. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're going to get out of those graves. I have loved ones tonight who have already gone on. Their body is still buried somewhere. I have a dad. I go to his grave. I know I can take you to the graveside of my dad. He's in the presence of the Lord tonight, but his body's decayed. It's still there. But one day, and I don't know how, I don't understand all of that, but one day when God steps out and he says, "It's time to come home, children. He'll reunite that old body of clay that's corrupted and decayed, and he'll reunite that with the soul, and it'll rise, and we that are alive and remain, we're going to just get up with them. Amen. Right? And we're going to meet the Lord. I'm looking forward to that surprise. If it happened tonight, I'd be happy. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I'd just meet my wife in the air about halfway across. Right? You say, you believe that, Brother Robbie? That sounds crazy. Well, then I'm just crazy because I believe it. I believe the Bible. If I didn't believe that, it'd be no reason for me to be here tonight. I'd have no hope, none whatsoever. This world was all there was to it. It wouldn't be worth living. But I have a hope tonight that the Lord will come back for me. Surprise! He's going to step out and call us home one day. Amen. The rapture will surprise some people. The challenge in that for me is to take as many people with me as I possibly can. As many as I possibly can. Let me look at one more surprise. Turn with me to Revelation. Go to the back of the book. Revelation chapter 21. Three great surprises from the Word of God. Death will surprise some people. The rapture will surprise some people. But number three, heaven will surprise us all. Chapter 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Notice this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." I'm looking forward to that day. "And there shall be no more death. There shall be no sorrow, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain." "For the former things are all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." We can believe his word tonight. They're true. "And he said unto me, It is done." In God's mind, it's already finished. It's done. "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that cometh or overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son." Heaven is a reality. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not a fairy tale, as I said earlier. It is a place prepared for us who love the Lord. And the surprises that are awaiting us are far more than we can tell, far more than we can imagine, far more than I can ever preach to you tonight. But of the things that I do understand, and that's limited, just the few things that I do understand about heaven, you notice them, no more tears. I've shed many a tear here on this earth. No more death. No more following a casket down the aisle. No more talking with the funeral directors. They'll be out of business. Sorry if there's any here tonight. No sorrow. No pain. There's people in this congregation tonight and their bodies racked with pain. I understand that. I know that. But there will be a day when God makes all things new, as he said, and there's a new heaven, and he calls us up in the rapture, and we are gathered with him in that holy city, New Jerusalem, and all things will be new. Not only the things around me, but Robbie Mullinax will be new. Right? I'll have a big head of hair then. Amen. Right? Right? You say, how do you know? Because I'm going to be like Jesus. I don't think he's bald. I don't think so. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm not going to have any pain. I'm not going to have any sorrow. I'm not going to have any cares of this world. There's going to be surprises way beyond my imagination. Remember the other night we talked about, last night, we said in Ephesians, Paul said that he was able to give you more than you could even ask or think. This is one of those things, right? Heaven will surprise us. I'm looking forward to God's surprises. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. I look forward to meeting with you. Tomorrow, I'll get in the car and I'll drive all the way back home. And I've been gone. I've been on the road now for about a week and a half and been gone. And tomorrow evening sometime, I'll get to go to my home. And I'll see my wife and my daughter. And it'll be home. She'll probably have something cooked for me that she knows I like. And I'll walk in the house and it'll smell like home. Right? It won't be a hotel room, and those are nice and they're fine. But tomorrow, I get to go home. But one day, I'm going to my heavenly home. I've never been there, Pastor. We write songs and we sing songs and we preach messages about our heavenly home. Your songbook is filled with them. And we refer to it as home. That sounds like home to me, where I want to be. My heavenly home will surely be mine. Squire Parsons wrote, "Some call it heaven, but I call it home." I call it home, but I've never been there. Does that not sound a little strange? How can you call somewhere home that you've never been? I can call it home because there are some familiar things there. There's some familiar people there. Right? I have friends and loved ones that's there tonight. But more than that, my Lord is there. Because one day I'll be able to stand before Jesus. I'll be able to stand before the Lord and I'll be able to see Him with my eyes and see Him as He is. And I'll be able to bow down on my knees and I'll be able to worship Him in person right in front of God and thank Him for saving a wretched soul like mine. Yes. Thank Him for all of the beautiful, wonderful things of heaven. Not just because of the things, because He is God that would allow me to partake in all of these wonderful things. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Don't be surprised when you meet the Lord. Let's stand together. Our head.